This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. You know the fiery trial? Trouble, calamity, trials. Trials that test your character as though some strange thing happened to you. But then he says this, but rejoice. Don't that sound like Jesus? Yeah. Count it all joy when you're surrounded by different kinds of tribulation and tests and trials, temptation. The message is consistent that when you're going through a hard place, you need to put your praise on. Hallelujah. You need to rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, you see, when you are suffering a hard place, going through a struggle, but you're doing everything God told you to do, then you're actually suffering with him. That suffering that's been approved by him. So he tells you to rejoice in it because I've already got built-in victory planned. You keep trusting God. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll walk right through that trial, right on into victory. I mean, you can see it all through the Bible. I mean, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Didn't they have a trial? Yeah, didn't they have a great ordeal in front of them? Wasn't their faith tested? But they went through the trial. They went into that fiery furnace and came out without the smell of smoke on them. But I'll tell you what, I bet they's happy when they come out of that. I bet you couldn't contain their joy. You talk about a sign and a wonder. Yes. You talk about amazing miracle. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And great joy right in the midst of it. First Peter 3, verse number 8. And listen at this right here. I'm going to read this out of New Living Translation. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. That means rejoice.
Yes, sir.
So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. This life does not come without some bumps and bruises along the way. This life is not one of the absence of adversity. But in the midst of the adversity, God gives us the grace and manifests his goodness that allows us to keep on moving. Amen. And to keep on trusting him. How many of y'all been through some stuff? Why are you still here? Because God been good to you. Because God been good to you. Because he has supplied to you what you needed when you needed it. Amen. Praise God. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. This is really what I want to talk to you about just for a few moments. You got to stay on the potter's wheel. To stay in God's plan, you have to constantly make sure that you're allowing God to do in you what he wants to do. Listen at this right here. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, I preached a message a couple of Sundays ago about a place called there. Now, you made a statement that God always talked to you when you get here. There's certain places that God ordained for you to hear from him.
Amen.
It's just like, you know, being in ministry. There's certain conferences that you make a point to go to because God speaks to you at those places, and he leads you to go. I remember way back in the late 90s, I never had any desire to go to camp meeting or the Winter Bible Seminar, Brother Hagin. You know, that was all good. Nothing wrong with that. I never had no desire to go. So one day at Saturday evening prayer, I was on my knees, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard the Lord speak to me because he speaks to you in the place of prayer. God speaks to you in his house, in the church building, in the assembly, because you know church is us. But in the place where we gather, he speaks there. There are certain places that he speaks. There are certain places God will do certain things in your life. Like he told Elijah, he says, I want you to go to the brook Cherith because I've commanded. He said, I commanded some ravens to feed you there. That, look, that provision was going to be at the brook. It wasn't going to be at no other brook. So there's certain places God wants you to be to hear from him. Okay? So I'm sitting there. I'm praying. I ain't thinking about winning a Bible seminar or anything. Then all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, I want you to go to winning a Bible seminar this year. And I said, oh, okay. Wow. I said, I ain't never had no desire to go, but God want me to go, so I'm going this year. So I made plans to go. And I got some of the greatest blessings. Amen. In those 3 or 4 days that I was up there. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it changed my life. It changed some of my thinking. Put me on the right track. Amen. So God many times would tell you, I want you, like he told Jeremiah here, he said, now I want you to go down to the potter's house. He said, because I'm going to speak to you there. Now, naturally, God can speak to you anywhere you are. But when you're listening to him, he might tell you where to go to hear a word from him. All right, then let's keep reading here. He says, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, I believe this scripture right here pertains to us. Because God is the potter. Amen. Praise God. And we're all on the wheel. Some of us jump off the wheel, though. Hey, look, you done did enough fashioning. Ain't going to be no more shaping. Fast, it's pressure. I ain't handling this. And we run from the plan of God. And we run to our own destruction. But you got to stay in the place God set you. And you got to let God mold you and shape you where you are. You let him have his way. The word marred there means spoil, ruin. In another translation, said this here. He said that the clay was marred in his hand, says something went wrong with it. Something went wrong. And so sometimes people get in a situation where things in their life don't turn out like they planned. And they say, something went wrong. How many of you have made a bad decision?
Yeah.
Praise God, we didn't never made a decision we can't recover from in God. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can recover from any bad decision you made. It may take a little time. God working through your soul, because we got our own will and our own way a lot of times. And some things we resist God, and we don't allow God to do what he want to do in us. In real simple things. There are some people God can't even get to go to church. They struggle just going to church every Sunday. Now, that's a simple thing. The Lord said, get them to go to church. Oh, I'm tired. I ain't had no rest this week. All right. Who knows what you're missing? You just never know. You need to be where you need to be when you need to be there. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. See, God's always working in our life. And the vessel that he made was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. In other words, the potter didn't take that piece of clay and throw it over in the clay pile. He didn't throw it away. Guess what he did? In other words, when the potter looked at what had happened in his hands, he said, this is not agreeable to me. I don't like what I'm seeing. So what he did, he just took it and said, I'm going to make another vessel. I'm going to make a brand new one. Glory to God. I'm going to reshape this until it's fully pleasing to me, until it is desirable to me, until I like what I'm seeing. Because he have an image in his mind of what that, of what your life is supposed to look like. God has a plan of what your life is supposed to be and how it's supposed to look. Amen. And he'll keep on working with you. I mean, sometimes it seems like he's hammering on you, but he's molding you and shaping you into what you ought to be. And you have to allow that process of God changing you and allow him to challenge you and to shape your character, even in the tough places that you find yourself sometimes. Sometimes we get in bad places because of bad decision. But God's grace reaches, how many of you know God's grace reach over into the bad place? I mean, if it didn't, there wouldn't be no cross. God stuck a cross right there in all that iniquity and sin. Sometimes we put ourselves in bitter situations, but I'm going to tell you, there's a cross, there's a tree that can be put in there that'll change everything. Amen? Through God's grace and through his goodness. Amen? So he said this, I will make another vessel as it seems good to the potter to make it. So I believe that God is challenging us today to say, God, keep working in me. Keep molding, keep shaping, keep forming and framing me so I am exactly what you intended me to be. So I am doing exactly what you intended me to do. Because none of us have the full picture of what our life's supposed to look like. I mean, if you'd have asked me 20 years ago, would I be pastoring a church in Alexandria? I'd have said, ain't no way. Let's do one better than that. If you'd have asked me if I was going to be a minister, I'd have said, ain't no way. I don't want to do none of that. I had my plan. You know, but the more you allow God to work with you and shape you and put desires in you, he'll begin to reveal glimpses and begin to show you things to come. He'll reveal the end from the beginning. He'll give you enough information to keep you on track, to keep you going in the direction he wants you to go in, and you got to stay right there. Amen. God is developing, he's molding, framing, forming, shaping us into what he wants us to be through all the broken places in our life. God uses them for his glory because he shapes our lives according to what pleases him. And you have to trust the potter. That the potter know what he's doing. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people get in places where they feel like I'm starting all over. You don't start over with God. God just do something new in your life. He just starts a new season. And all of things that you have benefited from and all the knowledge that you've acquired over all those years, he'll use every bit of that. So you don't throw away that of what God has taught you. Now, I'm talking about if you're in the will of God, and you're in the will of God, and sometimes people go through painful things like divorce or family situations that are hurtful. You know, sometimes people lose a job and say, I got to start all over. I'm going to tell you, when you're trusting God, you allow God to work in you, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says he made another vessel. That means he made it what he wanted it to be. He brought a freshness. Yes, he brought a refreshing, a vitality. I mean, he brought brand new life into that person. Amen. Because that piece of clay, that pot, is representative of people. Because the next verse he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? God asks the question, can I do with you like the potter does to a piece of clay? Will you allow me to shape you and mold you? Because in the shaping and the molding, God has good plan for you. There's a good outcome. And that's where you have to trust the master, that he has a good plan for you. You see, David, through all of his adversity, how many of you know David had adversity? How many of you know he was anointed 3 times to be king before it happened? It seemed like first time, you think that's going to happen in 6 months. It wasn't no 6 months. Adversity, adversity, adversity. But he said this in Psalm 27. I would have fainted, lost heart, given up, quit, walked away, if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He said, let me tell you something. Another translation says, what would have become of me if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? So you have to believe that God has a good plan, and you have to trust in that plan that it's going to work out good even when you don't understand. I'm sure that there were days when David didn't understand, when he couldn't figure out God's plan. I'm sure that Joseph, who went through great adversity, probably had battles in his mind wondering what God was doing with him, when it seemed like that what God had spoken over him, that he was 1,000,000 miles away from him. How is this ever going to happen? God's given many of you dreams and visions of your life. And you look at where you are and where you know God want to take you, and you say, boy, I just ain't going to never get there. How is that going to ever happen? I've thought that about a lot of things in my life. How's this ever going to happen? I wondered if I'd ever pastor this church full time. I'd stand over there in the hospitality room, look out the window and pray, look at that car wash over there, and say, I wonder if I ever pastor this church full time here. Just seemed like it was never going to happen. When God told me that I had 1 year left on my job at IP, before I was even a pastor, he said, you got 1 more year there, do a good job. And 6 months later, I was looking at a blank picture, just like a canvas with no painting on it, just empty, just nothing. But God brings his word to pass. And if you stay faithful to God and you just keep doing what he tells you to do, you keep on seeking after him, you keep putting your hunger on display, you do the basic things, being in church. I mean, simple things that people discount and say, oh, that ain't worth much. That don't count for much, but little things count big in the eyes of God, because God tests you with the little things and the things that seem insignificant, and how you treat those things lets him know how you're going to do big things. Some people say, let me start off big. You ain't going to start big. God will give you a little bit of assignment, a little assignment, a small assignment in your eyes, maybe in the eyes of other people. And if you're not faithful with it, he say, you know what? I can't give them nothing big. They're not even faithful in the little thing. I just asked them to take the trash out. I can't even get them to take trash out. Oh, God, I want to preach to thousands. I want to preach to thousands. Oh, Lord. The Lord said, go talk to that little person right down there. Go minister to that person right there. That one person right there. I ain't got time for that. What if they reject me? You think about the rejection of one person? What you think about 1,000 people? Boy, you talk about putting yourself out there. God wants you to stay on the wheel because he's good. You go through the process of letting him train you, because God will develop you, train you to be the person that he wants you to be. And you don't have to ever worry about being late. You don't have to think about starting over. You have to let God be your potter and not somebody else. Don't let others shape and mold you according to their will by putting your trust in them. Now, I know God give us relationships that bless us and that we receive from one another and things like that, but you know, God is the ultimate source. I'm talking about somebody just take you out of the will of God because they just got something they want you to do. You know, maybe you've been broken. Maybe you're going through a painful experience right now. But if you'll place your life into the loving hands of Jesus, if you'll let Christ be the potter of your life, then I'm going to tell you that he will make a difference in you. He'll cause your attitude, your emotions. He'll just reform your whole life. When you start trusting God, you see things different. When you yield to God and allow God to take out, you know, the things that's not pleasing to him, it may be a painful thing if you're letting go some things that you really used to like to do. But you do it for his glory. And I'm going to tell you, nothing that you give up can compare to what you receive. Amen. You're not starting over because of unexpected things that happen. It's never too late for God to work in your life his wonderful plan. Amen. He can make your life so different that the former life will become a distant memory. God can make your life so good that you'll be so glad that you ain't living like you used to live. How many believers can attest to that? Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't go back to who I used to be for nothing in the world. Man, that man dead and gone. And he ain't about to get resurrected. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm in the plan of God. But you got to keep seeking him. You got to keep pursuing God. You got to stay in that word. You got to keep obeying. And then you had to keep listening. You got to listen to what he's telling you to do. Amen. You got to listen. Now, I got a book out there that I'll give to anybody that don't have it, called Spending Time with God. Will give you a starting place on how to fellowship with God, how to spend time with him. Because a major part of spending time with God and staying on the wheel is learning how to listen to what he's speaking to you after you read, after you pray, after you praise and worship. You read the script, you don't just read and say, I did my devotion and gone. You prayed. Soon as you finish praying, up off your knees, gone. You ain't even listen. You need to build listening time into what you're doing. You need to listen to him. You need to say, Lord, is there anything that you want to speak to me? Is there any scripture you want to impress upon me right now? And you listen. And you know, you listen for a few moments there for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. If nothing happened, then you go on with what you got planned for that day. But then stay open all day. God, I'm listening. Because he can tell you where to go, who to talk to, what to do. You can let him order your steps. That's what it means to stay on that wheel, is that you are available to him 24/7 for him to direct you, to instruct you, and even to correct you. You see, God has a good plan for you, but you have to repent of the evil. You have to let go of all that evil stuff and say, God, I just want your will. And you just die. Y'all not starting over. You just refire. Amen. There's a new clothing. He's just clothing you different. Amen. So don't be afraid to take off the old clothes. Amen. And let God put some new clothes on you. Amen. Yes. Yes. It ain't no shame in that. Some of y'all feel like you're having to start over. You come to an impasse in your life and say, I done messed this life up. I'm going to tell you, I was 21 years old and I knew I had messed my life up. I said, I done messed this life up. This life all messed up. God, I made a mess of this life. I said, can you do something with me? I was at a place where I had no purpose. I said, Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. I ain't got no purpose. I don't know why I'm here. And I was so empty inside that I said, Lord, I can't take 80 or 90 years of this. I can't live old in this state. I said, I just ain't going to do it. I said, so Jesus, if you can do anything with me, change my life today. And I was so serious about it that I told him, I said, if you don't change my life today, then you ain't real. And there ain't no Jesus, and all this ain't nothing but a fairy tale. I said, but Lord, I believe in you. I said, would you take me today? Forgive me. I done messed up. And then the Lord gave me a vision. He said, I'll give you a reason to live. And he gave me a vision with a giant chalkboard, had all my sins written on it. Sin written on top of sin. Wasn't even a clear spot for you to even write another sin. Sin written on top, just white. With my sins, with little bitty spots of green, you know, it's a chalkboard. And I saw him take an eraser about like this right here. And he started erasing that board. He erased the whole board. And then when he finished cleaning the board, he looked at me and he said, see, I have forgiven you all your sins. They're all gone. I don't remember them anymore. And I looked at that board, and I saw not a single mark. And something happened in my heart. And I prayed a prayer, and I said, Lord, help me not to mess the board up again. Help me keep it clean. See what happened? The desire for sin left me. I didn't want to do wrong after that. I just wanted to do what's pleasing to him. What did I do that day? That day, I climbed up on the wheel. I put myself there. You know, you had to lay your life down. I laid my life down. I got up on the wheel. And I didn't know I was doing that, but this is what I really did. I got up on the wheel and I say, Lord, make me what I need to be. Fashion me according to your will. My whole life belonged to you. Then, I'm going to tell you what. You ain't got to be saved 10 years to hear God. God started cleaning my life up right then. And I got around good people. You got to have good people in your life. I had Ricky and Robert and a whole bunch of Larry Brown guys on fire for Jesus. And boy, I tell you, that's all that he became our life. And I'm going to tell you, we went through the pain of having God stop some things that we used to enjoy. We died to some stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, the joy that was given in return for what we gave up can't be compared to. Can't be compared to. I wouldn't go back from. I say, man, I tell people, I burn all the bridges behind me. I ain't no way I'd go back to that. You just go ahead and take me out right now. I ain't going back. I'll never let Jesus go. I love him with all my heart till the day I die. And that's a commitment that you have to make. And when you make that commitment, you climb up on the wheel and you say, okay, Jesus, make me in your image, just like what you want me to be. Hallelujah. I submit to the process of dying and living. You live and you die. You die and you live. You keep living for him. You keep dying on what you want. You keep living for what pleases him. When you do that, then the potter will take all the broken pieces, all that the clay that's been marred, your life that's been marred, and I'll tell you what, he's got a beautiful plan. He knows how to put it back together again. And he's not going to make an old you. The Bible says he made another. Said he made another. He made another. He don't make an old you. He make you into a person you ain't never been before.